In the gospel that Father just sang, it says, because no word shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. One word, fiat, it means let it be done. I can remember after my father died, and my mother was really struggling for quite a number of years after that, that she would say that one word prayerfully all the time. It was her way of coping and asking for the strength to get through everything. Fiat. Fiat voluntas tua. Let thy will be done. I hope that the angels heard it and were pleased, and that it won her a high place in heaven. But more than 2,000 years before my mother's little fiat, there was another Mary who uttered a fiat that would absolutely echo through the ages, one that would change the world of souls forever and ever. You can picture the scene. You should be used to it by now if you meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary. Picture the scene of the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. A majestic angel descends from heaven, appears to a humble maiden who is wrapped in prayer, and greets her with the first words of the Ave Maria, and solemnly declares to her, if you can imagine it, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the Holy, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And the angel Gabriel stood and awaited Our Lady's answer and consent. On this, St. Bernard of Clairvaux said that Adam and all the patriarchs were waiting for this consent. And then St. Bernard says to Our Lady, the whole world prostrate at thy knees is waiting for this answer. And rightly, since on thy word depends the consolation of the miserable, the redemption of captives, the liberation of the damned, the salvation of all the sons of Adam, make answer speedily, O Virgin, speak the word which earth, which the dwellers below and the dwellers on high are waiting for. The King and Lord of all things himself desires thine assent, by which his purpose is to save the world. And after what must have seemed like an eternity, Our Lady said the one word, fiat. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Now, Our Lady's fiat was both the consent to God's plan that she should become, in a most miraculous manner, the Mother of God. It showed, too, that she wished for and desired the incarnation of the Messiah in order that men might be redeemed. It was her prayer that this happened. And this fiat, this one word, brought God from heaven to earth. And that handmaid of the Lord was exalted to the dignity of Mother of God. Well, at the same time that she became God's mother, she was also designated to be an intermediary, a mediatrix, between God and man. In fact, St. Ephrem says that Mary is, after Jesus, the mediator par excellence, the mediatrix of the entire world, and that it is through her that we obtain all spiritual goods. And Saint Germanus says, even more edifyingly, no one is saved except by thee, O most holy. No one is delivered except through thee, O most immaculate. No one receives the gifts of God except through thee, O purest one. And finally, Pope Leo XIII, in one of his encyclicals, says, according to the will of God, nothing is granted to us except through Mary. And as no one can go to the Father except through the Son, so generally no one can draw near to Christ except through Mary. And Our Lady not only gets us every kind of grace, but she actually distributes to us every grace in particular. And that is why it is the practice in the Church to turn to her to obtain whatever grace or whatever favor is needed at the time, from the grace of conversion up to the grace of final perseverance, from the grace of victory in a navy battle to the grace of victory over heresy. She is called health of the sick and refuge of sinners, the comforter of the afflicted, help of Christians, because she obtains all of these graces for her spiritual children. It's interesting to note, too, that even during Our Lady's earthly life, she showed herself in sacred scripture as the distributor of graces. Remember, it was through her that our Lord sanctified Saint John the Baptist when she visited her cousin Elizabeth. Remember that it was through Our Lady that our Lord confirmed the faith of the disciples at Cana when she asked her son to change water into wine. Remember that through her, our Lord strengthened the faith of Saint John the Evangelist on Calvary when he said, "Behold thy mother." And remember, finally, that by her, the Holy Ghost came down upon the apostles, for she was praying with them in the cenacle. Now, we all know that a parent who has already gone to heaven is mindful of all of the children that she has left behind on earth. She takes special interest in all of their needs, both temporal and spiritual, and she prays for them. And this is especially the case with Mary, the Mother of God and the Mother of men. She knows all the needs of all men on earth. Garrigou Lagrange says, since she is an excellent mother, she prays for them, and since she is all-powerful over the heart of her son, she obtains for them all the graces that they receive. Now, all of these things that have been said so far in the sermon should fill us with a great affection for our Lady, and it should even more spur us on to go to her with absolute filial confidence in all of our needs, whether our personal needs or those of our loved ones. Because there's no greater way to obtain some grace from her or to obtain her favor than to say her rosary faithfully every day. Countless conversions have been won through the praying of the rosary. I know it's happened in my family. I'm sure you can all say the same. If you can get a loved one to pray frequently, even just one decade of the rosary, then I assure you that Our Lady will convert your loved one. Remember, too, that through the Holy Rosary, Our Lady has kept her promise to destroy vice, decrease sin, and also to defeat heresies. Ah, that's the solution for the problem of Vatican II, the Rosary. And Our Lady promises that she will deliver from purgatory those who are devoted to her Rosary. She promises that she will cause virtue and good works to flourish. She promises that she will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. She promises that we will obtain whatever we ask of her through the Rosary. And above all, and most importantly, she promises that the soul that recommends itself to her through the Rosary shall not perish. Do you doubt these things? Do you doubt that these things will happen to you and say to yourself, well, those promises are good for others who are better than I am, but not for me? Then I urge you to pray the first joyful mystery of the Rosary and recall the words of the Archangel Gabriel: no word shall be impossible with God. It is as easy for God to accomplish anything as it is for us to speak a word. He himself only had to speak one word and all things were made. And just as our Lord obeyed Our Lady's every wish on earth, so he cannot but grant her every prayer that she utters for us now that she is in heaven. No word shall be impossible with God. Pray your Rosary. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.